afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me today in the Zoom room for part three of our journey extravaganza, I think we're calling this the post-Perry years, please welcome Andy Solem. Hey, Andy.
Hey, Pat. How's it going?
It's going good. Now, Andy, you're in a new apartment.
I'm in a new house.
New house. Even better.
Yes.
And so Andy has informed me that it's a little echoey in the room he's in. So if you guys hear that, just, you know, just deal with it. Zoom is what Zoom is, and we're going to do our best. So Andy, we are doing this episode right now because the brand new Journey album, Freedom, just dropped a few days ago.
That's right.
And it features, again, Arnel Pineda and Neil Sean and Jonathan Cain, and then some other people, which we will talk about when we get to that album. It'll be the last one we discuss today, but I just wanted everyone to know that the reason we're doing it now is because of Journey and Freedom. And we also have copies to give away, courtesy of Andy. So thank you, Andy.
You're welcome.
And Ann, did you get yourself a physical copy also?
I did not.
All right.
Big fan. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit.
Okay, cool. All right. So normally I let the guest go first, but I'm going to go first because there was a song that I want to make sure we don't forget. And it's the first time that we hear the new singer, Steve Augeri, is on the soundtrack for Armageddon.
Right.
And the song is called Remember Me. And the songwriting credits on that tune are Jonathan Cain, Neil Sean, and Jack Blades from Night Ranger. Now, for me, in these post-Perry years, I think Neil Sean and Jonathan Cain's songwriting is best when there's a third party that comes in to help those two guys out. I think, in my opinion, if those two guys are writing a song on their own, it's not as good as it is with that third person voice. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, and that there's actually a couple of examples from the first Steve Augeri album that were my picks that we'll talk about that meet that criteria.
All right, perfect. Now, the lineup at this point for Journey, it's three parts Bad English. It's Neil Sean, Jonathan Cain, Dean Castronovo, Ross Valerie's there. He stayed on after Trial by Fire. The reason Steve Smith didn't stay on is what I've read is he said, if Steve Perry wasn't there, he just wasn't interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So, you know, Neil grabbed Dean, who he'd worked with many, many times. And they found this guy, Steve Augeri, from his album Tall Stories.
I remember that band.
Yeah, and he was working for The Gap, I think. He wasn't folding T-shirts. I think he was in the corporate world. But they contacted him, and he was willing to give it a go. And he joins the band. So let me play Remember Me. This is the first time we heard new Journey music without Steve Perry. All right, Andy, do you remember hearing that song for the first time?
I do. I remember liking it. I still like it. I remember being impressed with their replacement vocalist. It's not a bad song for post-Perry Journey.
Yeah, I think so too. I remember thinking, well, he doesn't sound exactly like Steve Perry, but he's in that same range. And I thought that was good to not have an exact sound alike per se.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Shirley is the guy that they brought in to produce that song and the subsequent album. And yeah, I was pretty impressed with that song too. I was that made me excited again to hear new Journey music. So let's jump into the new Journey music, which was the album Arrival. Now I had the Japanese import because I believe it came out about 6 months before it was released in the US. And I will post these two covers when this episode drops. I'll just hold this up for Andy. This was the Japanese album cover, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, they incorporated the US version and just added some pieces on top of it.
Yeah, the like US version is just what the Japanese version is. It's like a relic that you find like in the sand, like an excavator would find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then, it makes more sense.
It makes more sense. And Arrival kind of fits. And then the US cover was just the artifact over a black background. It's really generic, in my opinion. Just I was not happy with that cover. I remember the band photo. I'm showing that to Andy. And I look at this band photo and I'm like, wow, that's Journey. Because Remember Me came out and I didn't see what Steve Augeri looked like until this album came out. And I was like, that guy kind of looks like Steve Perry with a perm.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was a great band photo. And I really felt like he looked like he should be part of the band Journey. So the first song you chose is what?
I picked a track that also had a outside the band co-writer, like you had mentioned. It's called To Be Alive Again and features Eric Bazillion from the Hooters, the co-write with Jonathan Cain and Steve Augeri. So Neil wasn't involved with this one.
And I believe on the Japanese import, yeah, on the Japanese version, To Be Alive Again was a bonus track. And I was just like, to be honest, I think it's one of the best songs on the entire album. So I was surprised that it was relegated to a bonus track, but then again, I was glad that I had the Japanese version. So here we go. This is To Be Alive Again. Such a great tune.
Yeah, I think that should have been the first single off the record. It's buried at track 13.
Yeah, on the US version, when the US version came out, they did include it. It's buried at track 13 on that. It's buried as the last track on the Japanese import. And kind of crazy that they didn't have the forethought that that's the best, one of the best songs on the album. I agree mm-hmm. with you.
It's certainly one of the most, you know, classic Journey sounding songs.
Absolutely. I mean, unless they were trying to not give the public that's the only reason I can think of that they wouldn't release this first. My first track off Arrival is called Higher Place. It's the opening track and it's written by Neil Sean and Jack Blades.
Shadows of myself and the clocks of decay.
love it. I love that song so much.
Yeah, that was the first track on the record, and that's not a bad selection at all for lead off track.
Yeah, it gives it. It's got a lot of. There's a lot of levels to it. Is that what I want to say? You know, it's got a great chorus. It starts off one way, takes you to a different place. And at this time, they also released a live DVD called Journey 2001. It was recorded in Las Vegas. And that's when you could hear Steve Aggeri sing the classic Journey songs. And man, he just did such a great job. And I saw the Arrival tour. I might have seen it twice. I believe I saw Journey twice with Steve Aggeri, and I was so impressed. I just thought, wow, they found the guy. This guy is amazing. His the way he was on stage for me fit what Journey was and is. Like, we'll get to what Arnell does a little bit later. Mm-hmm. What he just seemed to just be a perfect fit for this band. So my next song, or your next song, Andy, I'm sorry, from Arrival is?
I chose I Got a Reason. And again, it's another co-write. And Neil Sean, Jonathan Cain, and Jack Blades co-wrote on this one as well.
Yep. And this is, again, I'm on board with every song that we've picked so far. I Got a Reason is fantastic. So let's hear I Got a Reason. I believe the first single that they released was a ballad called All the Way, and that was co-written with Jonathan Cain, Neil Sean, Steve Aggeri, and I think Taylor Rhodes. And I like that song too, even though I didn't pick it as my next choice. But and then we'll talk about Arrival overall. But I picked a song called Signs of Life that was written by Neil and John, and I don't know the first name. Let me see if I can find it. It's obviously a relation to Jonathan Cain. It says Elizabeth Cain. I assume that was maybe his wife at the time, even. I don't know. But this song is called Signs of Life, and another one that I really enjoy. So let's hear it.
It's been 40 days since I heard from you. This waiting game you put me through. I feel the silence killing me day to day. Losing hope, I lose myself. It's got me thinking of someone else. We need to talk, you give me metaphors.
All right, that was Signs of Life. That closes out our discussion of Arrival, but we'll still talk about the overall album here for a second. What do you think of Arrival, Andy?
The two songs I picked and the two that you picked were my four favorite songs on the record, so you did a good job with your two picks. There's a few others I like. Overall, it's not a bad record. It's with, and we'll say this a lot, Too many tracks, 15 songs, way too much filler. They could have shaved off five easily. There's some of the mid-tempo, moody kind of songs could probably be tossed. The songs are too long, which we'll probably say that a lot here too. So I think it just needed some trimming down to 10 solid tracks. It would have been a much more solid record.
Yeah, I think if they would have trimmed this down to 10 tracks, this would just be a classic Journey album. And again, we can trim it down ourselves. I think I even did back in the day. I actually, because this is what music nerds do, I remember trying to sequence it in the same way that Escape is sequenced. Like I took the 10 tracks I liked that I felt were similar in tone to the 10 tracks on Escape. And I don't remember what that was now, but yeah, other songs on this album are, I like We Will Meet Again, and I like World Gone Wild. And, but yeah, there's some mid-tempo things in here that just don't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So they don't do anything for me either. But I do really like Arrival, even with all those flaws. And yeah, I think they're on the right path. And this album was released through Columbia still. So at the time, Columbia Records was still in the Journey business, or they wanted to be.
Yep. Yeah. In fact, this was their final record with Columbia.
It was, because I think it, you know, in 1998, it's Journey's a hard sell. In year 2000, it was the year 2000. Yeah. So difficult, but I think overall, it's a pretty great album. Which brings us now to, they did an EP called Red 13. And this was kind of an independent release, if I remember. I think it was released on their website, and then Frontiers Records picked it up and released it, you know, in other countries. But, well, let's play the songs first, and then we'll discuss. We each picked one off of this. What did you pick off Red 13?
I picked the first track, State of Grace.
All right. It's a 7 minute and 27 second track, which for me, that's a no-no with Journey, but here we go. All right, let's see who writes this one. That's Jonathan Cain, Neil Sean, and Steve Augeri. I mean, it's fine. This Red 13 is just fine. I remember being disappointed by it because I thought we were going to get five killer tracks. It's an EP, and I enjoyed Arrival, so I was expecting more of that. And this did not live up to what I had hoped for.
Yeah, Neil's called it a experimental EP as a thank you to their fans, kind of how he described it. So I guess at least it's not, you know, an official release or something. It's just kind of, it's an EP. So you kind of take it for what an EP is. So if you kind of view it through that lens, it's a little more palatable.
Yeah, and produced by Neil and John. Engineered by Jonathan Cain, mixed by John and Neil. So again, I still think Journey does, I think a lot of bands do better with outside input. There's some bands that can produce themselves. Styx is a perfect example. Dennis and Styx always produce those records, and they knew how to do it. What did I pick off Red 13? It was hard to pick one, but I took I can Breathe. Caught in a crowded city, buildings are closing in. Drowning in my emotion, can't tell you where I've been. Out of place, Yeah, so there you go.
It's definitely it's for the hardcore Journey fan for sure. And definitely, you know, Neil sounds great, especially on the harder rocking songs. Neil's smoking.
Yeah, and I think you know, and I don't mind if Neil, you know, solos and jams, but I don't always know if that's Journey. Like, I feel like he does enough side projects and solo stuff that when it's Journey, I really want it to sound like Journey. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but that's what I want. So that was 2002, and we're going to move on to 2005 with an album called Generations. I believe this was released by Frontiers Records. I don't know if, did this get an American release, really?
This was given away for free at concerts.
That's right. That's never a good sign.
Yeah. Get a free CD with your ticket.
Yeah. And again, the band stays the same. Neo, John, Steve Augieri, Ross Valerie, Dean Castronovo. And I think, doesn't Kevin Elson produces this? Kevin Elson, who produced Escape.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw that, that was a good sign. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. And let's get into it. Let's talk about the songs and then we'll talk about the album. So Andy, what do you got for me from Generations?
My first pick is a tune called Place in Your Heart.
All right. It's a good, great tune. Now, the first thing I thought when I heard Generations is I wasn't that excited about the production on some of the songs.
I would agree. Yeah, I think it does suffer a little bit.
And I remember thinking, oh, this is the guy who produced Escape. So this thing is going to sound like crystal clear and there's going to be lots of separation and the vocals will be out front. And it's just kind of a little muddy at times.
Yeah, it could have been, you know, they probably weren't able to afford the multi-million dollar studios that they're in the early 80s as well.
And again, this album has 14 tracks, which is probably four too many. And we'll talk about why in a minute. But while we're on this song, Journey liked this song so much that they actually re-recorded it for their next album with Arnell on vocals. So I want to give you a taste of that. It's basically, it sounds note for note, just with Arnell singing and a different producer. So here we go. Just a great song. I love the song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't care who sings it. I like it. All right. Let's jump into my first track on Generations. And this one is, wait a minute. Do I have it? Or did I just take the song? Wait a minute. What did I do here? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I got confused for a second. My song is the one that opens the album. It's called Faith in the Heartland. And it's almost 7 minutes long, but I was okay with this being long because I really enjoy this song too.
He's got his dream and he's hurting on. He's getting harder every day.
right. And just like The Place in Your Heart, they also recorded this again with Arnell. So here's his version.
He goes to work in a brand new dawn with the early morning sunrise. He's got his dream and he's holding on. It's getting harder every day. Loves a girl who speaks her mind. Don't always look at life the same way. Sharing truth that will heal in time. And wanna believe something real still. They're searching. They're keeping the faith in their heartland tonight.
All right, so the two songs we featured were the two songs that opened the album. So they must have felt very strongly about those tracks to give those the 1-2 punch. And I'm on board with both of those songs. What about you, Ian? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. Those are two of the stronger tracks on the record.
Now, there's 14 songs on this album because what they wanted to do with this album is they wanted everyone to be represented vocally. So there's songs that Dean sings. There's a song that Neil sings. There's songs that Jonathan Cain sings, and there's even a song that Ross Valerie sings, which we will get to. But let's go with the song you picked, Andy.
Yeah, I had a kind of a difficult time with this tricking another one, but the bonus tracks I think are pretty decent. So I went with one of the tunes. Dean sings two tracks on the record, including the bonus tracks. And this is one of them. It's called Never Too Late.
And this might be one of the top three or four songs in the album. And Dean sounds amazing. And again, this is relegated to a bonus track. This is mm-hmm. Never Too Late. I love this song. I mean, I think Dean sounds more like Steve Perry than anyone that's been with the band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely does a good version of him for sure.
I mean, obviously, I don't think Dean could drum a whole show and sing a whole show of the Journey catalog. That's a mm-hmm. hard catalog to sing. But I wonder if they ever considered ever to just let him not drum and just sing. I don't know.
Mm, that's a good question.
Because he's really good on these songs. Let me find out if I picked what I picked for. Yeah, I'm going to play the other Dean song. It's called A Better Life. And then we'll get into some of these other songs too. Here we go.
They were married as high school sweethearts. Never dreamed it'd be like this. Finding nothing for them comes easy.
All right. So far between the two songs you and I picked and then the two Dean songs, those are four solid tracks. I have nothing wrong with no problem with those songs. Let's try Ross Valerie's one and only lead vocal on Journey album. It's a song called, where is it? What's it called? Why can't I find it? It's called Gone Crazy. written by Neil and Amber Sean and Jonathan Cain and Kim Tribble. I mean, Ross Valerie doesn't even write anything on this, but let's hear it. Let me cue it up.
Hey, you. It's a seagull stinkaroo.
All right. Now, if I listen to that as if it's a ZZ Top song, I'm okay with it. But as a Journey song, it's a zero for me.
Yeah, it's like the bastard child of Frontier's back talk. It's kind of a mess.
It's really a mess. You're right. I just I never understood what was going on with that tune. The song that Neil sings is In Self-Defense, which was on his second Sean Hammer album. So they decided
to stay.
Yeah, Journey, you know, give it the Journey treatment. Jonathan Cain, I don't mind a couple of the songs he sings on here. And was there another one that I wanted to? Oh, yeah, here's another Steve Augeri song that I really liked. This is called Out of Harm's Way. The rocker and Neil is wailing on guitar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely one of the stronger cuts on the record.
Yeah. I mean, I remember at the time, I believe I took Arrival and Generations and put them together and made a great little mix for the car. When I ordered this album, it came with a sticker. It came with a mouse pad with the Generations cover on it. And, yeah, again, they started to get a little generic with the covers again by putting just the Journey title at the top and then the album title at the bottom and then some form of that scarab in the middle. But all right, so they started a tour with this album, Generations. I believe they played like a 3-hour show in LA. I was not there for that. And they played songs from every era of Journey, even like the first couple albums. And soon after that, I believe we found out that they were using some backing tracks for Steve Augeri.
Yeah, he had gotten a throat infection that he just couldn't kick. So they had to make hard choices.
Yeah, and so the band didn't want to cancel the tour. So they found a guy, Jeff Scott Soto, and Neil worked with this guy before. I think Soul Circus was the album.
Mm-hmm.
Dean is on that album. So they knew him. So they tried him out and they decided he could sing the catalog. And so they gave him a shot. So I have some songs from, and I saw this tour. It was Violent Femmes, Cheap Trick, Billy Idol, Def Leppard, and Journey. That's what played out here when I saw it. There's a radio station called Jack FM, and it was a brand new radio station at the time. And it was, they call, touted it as Jack's first show. So that's what I got to see. And I didn't know who Jeff Scott Soto was. So we were all curious and excited, and we were pleasantly surprised. So I have two tracks here from YouTube. So forgive the quality, but this is Ask the Lonely. What do you think of that, Andy?
It's not bad. You know, for a last second, let's keep the tour going singer.
Yeah.
I don't think he's got the, obviously he doesn't have the same range as any of their other singers, but he was in pitched with several of those notes. It wasn't bad.
Yeah. And he was, as a showman, he ran all over the stage and he was engaging, and, you know, Neil and John, they had smiles the whole show. And so did Dean. Dean, if you watch any of these videos, Dean is loving it. He's just kicking ass on the drums. I'll play one more. I have queued up what I got. This is I'll Be All Right Without You from Raised on Radio. Here we go. Right. It's an admirable performance. Mm-hmm. He does pretty solid work. And I get the tour went so well that they were going to have him be their vocalist. And I guess they went in and recorded some stuff, and then they just fired him.
Yeah, there's still talking about that years later. And even Jeff Scott Soto, I think this is fairly recently, was saying that I just want to know why. I guess he signed a non-disclosure agreement or something to not say anything bad about Journey. But he says, and that's fine. I don't have to say anything bad, but I just want to know, you know, why I was let go. And Neil responded back recently and basically just said, it just didn't work out. So whatever that means.
It just didn't work out. All right. So Steve Augeri, I just want to add this. I saw him solo, probably, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. And he sounded great. He sounded really great. But what I thought was very weird was his set was entirely Journey songs, but there were no songs that he sang on record. Mm-hmm. It was all Steve Perry Journey songs. And I just thought that was strange, not to even do any of the ones we played from Arrival or to do anything other than the Steve Perry songs. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do any Tall Stories or any of his solo singles that he's released. And that was interesting, but I guess he knows that's where the bread and butter is even at this point.
Right.
So Journey has to find a new singer. So I guess Neil takes to YouTube and he finds a guy named Arnel Pineda from the Philippines, and they bring him over and it works out for them. They like Arnel, and so he joins the band and we get the album Revelation, which was a Walmart only release. Is that correct?
That's right. Exclusive from Walmart.
2008. And this thing sells a million copies.
Yeah. Reached number 5 Billboard.
So Walmart did their job as far as promoting or whatever they were doing. And what do you got for your first Arnel Pineda song?
I got one of my favorite post Perry tracks, Change for the Better.
All right, let's hear it. Now that's one of the times that Neil and John write a song together with no outside writer and they hit a home run.
Yeah, for sure.
That's fantastic. I don't know if I said Kevin Shirley comes back to produce, and yeah, that's a killer. That's a home run.
Yeah. The record sounds good too, compared to the other ones we listened to. This is the best sounding post Perry record that we had gotten at that point.
You actually picked the two songs that I would have picked first. So I can't wait to play your next one. Just great tunes. So I went with a song called Turn Down the World Tonight. That classic Journey keyboard sound. It's just it's a nice ballad. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good track. It's one of the better post-Perry ballads.
Yeah, for sure. Done. And so when this album came out at Walmart, it had 11 tracks on it. There was a European and Mexican release that had a bonus track called Let Me Take You Back. And the Japanese release is where Arnel's version of The Place in Your Heart can be found. So there are 13 tracks total if you find the other two non-American release versions. Okay, so your next song, Andy.
I went with the first track on the record, Never Walk Away.
Look, as soon as I put this CD in the car, I was there day of release. I was at Walmart right when they opened, like a nerd. Got this album, put it in. And when this song started, I was all in 100%. This is one of my favorite post Perry tracks. It's one of my favorite Journey tracks. Yeah. I just love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. everything about that for me is 100% Journey.
Yeah, it definitely has the classic sound. It's very reminiscent of Be Good to Yourself off of Raised on Radio. I hear some of the similar chords and song structure.
Yeah, and sometimes Journey does that. They'll steal from themselves a little bit here and there, and that's I guess that's what makes it sound so familiar and allowed me to enjoy it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to play the song, which was the bonus track for the aforementioned European and Mexican releases. This is a song called Let It Take You Back. Maybe a lot of people haven't heard this song. Here we go.
Driving down the road, you swear you've been before. Daydreaming about the days gone by. Faces and places that you're missing from your life. Disappear like ghosts in the night.
I don't think Dean sang anything on this album, correct?
No, I don't believe so.
Yeah, it was all Arnell, because they wanted to give Arnell the big push. So the American version that was released at Walmart had 11 tracks. The last track was an instrumental by Neil called The Journey, and then in parentheses, Revelation. So basically, they stuck to the 10-song format, and this is probably their most cohesive post-Perry album, top to bottom. Would you agree with that?
I think so. I mean, we've got another one coming up that I actually like a little bit better. But I think to date, post-Perry, this is the best post-Perry record, you know, at that time. They definitely improved upon Arrival and Generations.
And I saw this tour with Arnell. Was at the Greek Theater. It was jammed. And my friend and I kept joking. This might be politically incorrect, but we kept joking about, I wonder how many Filipino people are going to be at the show tonight. And when we got there, there absolutely were an amazing amount of Filipino mm-hmm. people there. Like, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh my God, we were just joking, but look at the people that have turned out for Arnell. And that show was fantastic. That was the first time I saw Arnell. And I thought, it was just as good as the first time when I saw Steve Aggeri. So, and it was at the same venue, again, the Greek Theater. So I was happy to be able to see those two guys on their first tours with Journey and to see Jeff Scott Soto. I've seen all incarnations pretty much. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, all four of them. Yeah.
Okay. So moving on to Eclipse. I will say that I think it's pretty cool that the title is spelled in that escape font
mm-hmm.
with ECL and then a one for the I and then a P and then a five for the S and a three for the E. I thought that was pretty cool. Even though there's not a lot of color in this album cover, I really liked that they were trying to do something a little bit different with the flying scarab. And I had high hopes for this. I thought this was going to be Escape 2. And Kevin Shirley returns. It's still Arnell, Neil, John, Ross, and Dean. And what do you got for us, Andy?
First track I picked up this one is Chain of Love.
All right, let's hear this one.
Feel paranoid. Yeah.
That Neela riff is great.
It really is. And I have to be honest, right here and now in this moment is the most I've ever liked that song. Like, I don't know why, but this album just, I mean, I would probably tell people that I hate this album. I just don't know why this never, I don't know, jumped out at me. I don't know if it was that the songs are too long or that it's more heavy and proggy than Journey sounding, in my opinion. But you say you love it, so tell me about that.
Yeah, I think especially, you know, doing the deep dive, getting ready for this episode, you know, Neil wanted a record that was more guitar oriented and less radio friendly. But in, to my ears, if you listen to the whole record, except for maybe two or three songs, which I skip, it's actually a pretty melodic record. It definitely is less ballads and is less poppy. But, you know, this is my favorite post-Perry record. I actually like this a little bit better than Revelation, although Revelation's got highlights that I think that are better than anything on this record. But track for track, it's a good record. I except for a couple songs, I think it's good, you know, top to bottom. I skip a few tracks, but this record really grew on me, especially again as I was kind of getting ready for this. I gave it kind of a fresh listen after a while, and I like it. I think it's a solid record.
Well, I'm glad you're saying that so that other people out there that feel the same way won't just hear my negative opinion. but that's what's great about music. Some people love something and other people don't like it as much. But I will be honest, the song that you just played, Chain of Love, I really enjoyed listening to that. So I might have to take yet another deep dive on this after we record. Now, this was released as Walmart Only 2, but it was a super flimsy packaging. If I remember, it was it was like a digipack, but it didn't have like a, it didn't have that plastic tray. It was just, it was really chintzy and it didn't do well. It didn't do well like Revelation did. Cause I remember months later, you could buy that album for like $5. And I think it went down to like $1.99 at some point. And even though I don't like it, I still sprung for this, I'm holding it up for you to see the hard book edition, because I'm a nerd. Oh, I don't really like that album. I'm going to buy this for $30. So let me play my first song, and it's the opening track. It's called City of Hope.
People waiting for some kind. Lost in the shadows of doubt, need a message of love. Nothing is certain in uncertain times. Hard to see beyond the greed and the crime. Where the faithful refuse to give up. Homeless and hungry survive just enough. Learn to smile through it.
This album is 12 songs and it closes out with a Neil Sean instrumental. I think that should have been a template, maybe always close out with a Neil instrumental. I think that's kind of a good idea. Again, all the songs on this, except I think for one, are written with Neil and Jonathan. So that kind of goes a little bit against what we were saying, because you enjoy this pretty much top to bottom. Let's hear Andy's next song. I hope this one wins me over too.
So this track is also buried at the end of the records, track 11, but this is one of the poppiest songs on the records called Someone.
All right, let's hear it.
To set you free.
no matter what Journey album you pick up post Perry, Dean Castronovo and Neil Sean always hit a home run. They're just so good. I mean, Dean might be my favorite drummer that's ever played in Journey. I just really like what he does. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, that's tough.
I mean, there's great drummers. I mean, Ainsley Dunbar, Steve Smith.
Yeah.
But I just like his, I like his rock feel. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. And I love watching him live. He's great live. This has always been my favorite song on the album. It's Anything Is Possible. It's positive. Mm-hmm. And I really like it. So here's Anything Is Possible. I like the two songs you chose. Obviously, I like the two songs I chose. I think we gave a nice representation of the album. Of these four songs, these are not any of the ones that you skip, right, Andy?
Correct, right.
Yeah, so this is, yeah, now I got to give it a good, I got to give it another listen. Mm-hmm. And again, not perfect.
Yeah, there's some, it definitely benefits from a deeper listen. Ritual is a great track. There's a tune called She's a Mystery, which is almost 7 minutes long. But the last minute and a half, it completely kicks into a different heavy rock and it kicks ass. And so there's lots of little stuff on the record that I feel make it worthwhile.
And I don't think that Jonathan Cain is all in on the Lord yet at this point in 2011. I mean, he does thank God at the end who helped me discover the mystery and power that is Tantra. So, all right, whatever. But I think between Eclipse and Freedom, a lot changes in Journey. And we've only been sitting with this album for a little while. Although I've had it for a while. I feel like I've had this for like 5 weeks, at least a month, because because of the show. I had it in advance, but Andy, you've been sitting with it for, over the weekend. And let's just talk about the cover. First of all, this is just garbage to me.
Yeah. They used Jim Welch, and he had done some of their other records, some of their compilation albums and stuff. So he has some history with the band.
But it's just so generic. I mean, we get it, the Flying Scarab. And I don't mind if it's featured on there, but do something unique with it. Don't just plop it in the middle. I mean, that's Revelations just kind of has it plopped in the middle, and so does Generations, and so does Arrival. I mean, it's a really cool thing. This Flying Scarab, is it a spaceship? Mm-hmm. I think it is, but do something with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's kind of a generic Journey font. I like the Journey font that's used on Departure and Evolution.
Yeah. That's, I consider that the classic Journey logo to myself. Yeah.
Me too. That's how I feel it is too. Cause they've used it twice. And why not just use that? And, but this is just, I don't know. This is like if you just wanted to like jam Journey in someone's face, this is what you would show them. Look at this. This is my band. All right. I'm going to look into the credits here. Cause this is some craziness, because this is not the touring band that's on this album.
Mm-hmm.
They announced that, and I can't pronounce the drummer's name. I keep tripping on it. Is it Narada?
I think it is Narada.
Narada Michael Walden. They announced that the band was going to be, because they had a falling out with Steve Smith and Ross Valerie. And I'm not quite sure what all that is. I'm sure it's always about money. And so no Ross and no Steve, which I kind of liked the touring incarnation for the longest time, because it was what I consider the classic or the most popular Journey lineup, sans Steve. You had Arnell in it. So as a fan, I liked seeing those guys with Arnell. So those guys are out. So we get Randy Jackson on bass, who played on Raised on Radio, toured with them on Raised on Radio. And he has always considered himself as a member of the band. So, all right, we're bringing back another guy who used to be there. And then Narada Michael Walden. God, that's a hard name for me. And the reason that he's there and Dean isn't is because Dean was kicked out of the band because he had some really bad personal problems, drugs, spousal abuse,
arrests. Yeah. Jail time.
I think he was arrested for rape. And I think that was part of the spousal abuse. I mean, not good stuff, not good stuff. And they kicked him out. And, but I guess time has healed all wounds and they brought him back. He's in the band now. He's on tour and he, it's weird. He sings a lead vocal on this album.
Yeah. Neil had said, since they didn't use him to drum on the record, they might as well have him sing a track.
Yep. So, so he's full fledged back in the band. Inside we get a really weird photo that looks like, it looks like Neil and Arnell are together, but then Jonathan Cain is like photoshopped in there. You telling me you couldn't sit these three guys down and get a picture for the or find there's not some picture of them on stage together that you could use? It's kind of strange to me. And then there's no picture of Randy, but there is a picture of Neil and Mr. Walden in the studio. And who else is on this album? Jason Derlatka, background vocals. Is he their keyboard player that's with them now on tour also?
Yeah, he plays keyboard. I think he plays some guitar and he sings too. He
sings lead on, I think, a track or two. And then who's on bass now? The guy that was in Hardline.
They got rid of Marco Mendoza.
Yeah.
There were some issues with him and Dean. I said it just wasn't really gelling between the two of them. So he's gone. But Todd Jensen, Neil recently said that he considers him to be the permanent bass player. So it looks like he's on for now. And Randy Jackson had back surgery, so he wasn't able to join them. And he also recently said that Narada is a musical member. He's not a touring member. He's a musical member of the band.
All right. And I remember there's some shows out there where Narada and Dean are both on drums. There's like two drum kits up there.
Yeah, Neil had said that he considered bringing two drummers out on the road, a la 38 Special or Grateful Dead or something. Dead.
Yeah, don't do that. we don't need to. How's that make the regular drummer feel? Dean Castronova can do the job.
Mm-hmm.
Been doing it. So, all right. First thing about Freedom, and we'll see if you agree. Too many songs.
Yeah, definitely. Way too many.
It's 15 songs. Neil in interviews refers to this as a double album. But for me, it's a single album with too many songs.
Yeah. And definitely with the song lengths, it definitely could be stretched into a double record.
Yeah. The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 songs are 5 minutes long. The last song is 7 minutes long. There's only two songs that are 3.5 minutes. And one of those was the first single, The Way We Used to Be. So let me start with Andy. What do you got for us from Freedom? I don't like the title. I got to be honest. I don't like this title in 2022 because I feel like they're trying to appeal to a certain base of people. And maybe that's my leftist liberal thinking. And this could have been a title they were going to use years ago on a on another album and just never did.
Yeah.
But for right here and now, I just feel like, and especially because John Cain's wife is a whack job, Paula White Cain, she speaks in tongues. She was Trump's religious faith advisor, which we know he doesn't have any religion or faith. That's all fucking bullshit. So, and I don't do politics on the show, but this album has caused me just some anger about some of these things. I just feel like they're reaching for a fan base that aren't my people, but that they can do what they want, their journey. But anyway, okay. I'm sorry, Andy, I digress.
Yeah. And you know, and the title was the original title of Raised on Radio before Steve Perry changed it. So maybe he's kind of going back to the well.
Okay.
With a title that he picked and never got to use. But
okay.
Certainly, you know, Journey is definitely a band for all people, however you want to view that. And I think they do quite well with that part of the political spectrum, which is fine. I mean, they deserve all the fans that they can get.
Sure. It's so funny though. The band started as like a hippie jam band in San Francisco. So this trajectory over the whole career to something that I might be reading, I might just be having a bad day, but it's so strange to me. But let's talk about what songs are good. Are there good songs? Let's find out. What do you got, Andy?
It was kind of tough for me to pick from here. I picked, my first choice was one of the popular tracks on the record. All of the songs, I think the lyrics are very generic. The album titles are horribly generic. And this chorus is pretty generic, but I do like the verse on this. So this is Don't Go.
And it's written by Pineda, Sean, Walden, and Kane. And again, this is their first album in 11 years. So what are we going to get? Here's a song called Don't Go.
Don't go.
I played a lot of it, and I like that song. I will tell you what, this will sound, again, I'm trying to say this without it sounding bad. Arnell's been in the band for so long, and I remember when he was first in the band, his English was not great. And I think after all this time, I think his English is getting better, which is causing him to be able to sing and sound even more like Steve Perry. That sounds a lot like Steve Perry. That opening, those Don't Go's. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Definitely sounds like Journey. And I do like that track. I probably would have picked that one had you not picked it. It is kind of generic. The lyrics of the whole album are a little generic at times. It's hard too, because after 11 years, you really want a great Journey album. And it's, again, when you see the touring band, and touring band's not on the album, and it's these guys, and it's just like, and I think who produced it? Walden, Sean, and okay. Yeah. So they're all in on everything. So what's my first song? I picked. It was hard to pick songs. I gotta be honest. This is the opening track, Together We Run.
The sun is on its way, acting like it's some new day. Your curtains hang the same, but the sheets pulled down. I know that they did you wrong, made it clear you don't belong. But the world's much bigger now than one small town. So pack three shirts that all keeps up your moonstruck poetry, and use that angel voice to say you've come with me. Come with me. Together we run.
It sounds like Journey.
Yeah.
And they definitely went the opposite way of what they did with Eclipse. They're leaning into their pop sensibilities more on this album, even though the songs are long at times.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like that one?
It's one of the better songs on the record, whatever that's worth. Yeah, I would say it's the top 4-5 songs on the record.
It's so weird to talk about this album because you're a Journey fan. I'm a Journey fan. And you want this to be your soundtrack of the summer. And it's not going to be my soundtrack of the summer.
No. Yeah. It's definitely was a very disappointing. I know we may be in the minority. I'm reading a lot of, you know, good reviews on the record, and Journey knocked it out of the park, and classic sounds and all this kind of stuff. And yeah, just didn't jive with me.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of that on Facebook, on their site and stuff. And it's just, I think sometimes people have been wanting something for so long that they will give something that's mediocre a pass at being great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've wanted something new from Journey for 11 years. I don't know if I ever thought we would even have another Journey album.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay to be like that. I'm not like that. I will listen to it and go, this is amazing. Or I'll say, not really that great, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I'm on there, not really that great, but we will play a couple more songs. So Andy, let me hear your next one.
I went with the tune called Holding On. It's definitely not one of the poppier songs. The chorus is a little mundane, but the music rocks. I mean, this is one of the more kick-ass tunes on the record. There's two tracks on the album that really kick ass, and this is one of them. Neil's playing is just this. It's the one that made me pick this track.
And again, Neil Sean, sensational. He's great all the time. And I root for Neil Sean. I know he wants this album to be just, you know, the best ever. So I do root for his success, but sorry, Neil, but he's great. And I like this song too. Just phenomenal.
Yeah, and it actually sounds like old Journey. AC sounds a lot like Steve Perry in this one.
Yeah.
Sounds like, you know, maybe one of the heavier tracks from their early 80s.
Yeah, it really does. I enjoy that song a lot. Journey on tour, why do they need an additional keyboard player and vocalist? Dean sings background vocals. Neil does. John does. I don't like when my bands stray and start adding things to the live lineup. And maybe mm-hmm. he's essential. And maybe he's been underneath the stage for the past 15 years and we never knew it.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of bums me out. I'm more ranting about Journey. I got this album for free. And the last time I saw Journey live, Arnell was terrible. I thought he was absolutely terrible, or the mix was bad, but it was awful. And with Jonathan Cain's right-wing leanings and all the religion, which I'm not a fan of organized religion, Journey will never get a dollar from me ever again. I'll go see them if I can get in for free. I'll listen to the music if I can get it for free. But as far as Journey getting money from me, that's over. And again, mm-hmm. you can at me, leave Andy out of it. But moving on. I'm sorry, Andy. I don't know. I didn't expect to rant like this, but it's just coming out.
And Arnell's defense, so from what I hear, he's sounding great now. He got a vocal coach recently, and they also got a new sound man, because I guess he wasn't hearing things very well on stage. He wasn't hearing his voice well. And Neil says it's made all the difference in the world. He's a completely different singer from what Neil says currently. So with those two things together, from what Neil's saying, he's a completely different guy now.
Well, and I will definitely go see them. I just won't pay to see them. And I like Arnell. I really do. He's not my look. If it was up to me, Steve Augeri would have never had vocal issues, and he'd be the singer in Journey forever. Because when a band switches lead vocalists so many times, that kind of taints the legacy type aspects for me too. But Arnell's the singer. He'll be the singer till the end. I don't think they're ever going to replace him unless something dire happens. And we don't want that to happen. So, and I think Arnell is a fantastic guy, and I'm glad they got a new sound man, and I'm glad he sounds better. And I don't blame him last time. It probably was the sound guy, but I'd be excited to see him again. Cause when I have seen him, other than that one time, he was great. All right. So the song I picked is You Got the Best of Me. And again, that's a very, very generic song title, but here it is.
It's so long I wondered where my heart would lead me. Could it seem to find someone who would let me be me? Ended up in situations I'd regret. I chose to change my reckless ways instead. Wasn't looking for something.
The chorus is a little generic because of that title. And I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not sure what songs I don't like, what I can name. It's just when I listen to the album as a whole, I want to skip songs. You know, we get a minute or so in mm-hmm. and I'm like, all right, I'm done with this one. You know what I mean? It's that kind mm-hmm. of an album for me. It's not keeping me enthused and excited and ready to hear the entire thing start to finish. Mm-hmm. I just want to skip. Let me find the Dean song though. We'll give you a taste of that song that Dean sings. It's not in my playlist, so let me find it.
Yeah, he does Afterglow.
Afterglow. Okay. I don't have this queued up either, so it'll just start from the beginning. Let's see what we got on Afterglow. I like Dean, but I don't like that song.
Yeah, it just, it kind of sums up the record. It just kind of, I'm more indifferent to the record than anything else. I don't actively loathe it. It's just very vanilla and extremely bland, except for, you know, three or four songs are okay. But it's just, that's just my sentiment. It's just like Wonder Bread.
Yeah, and when you go to see Journey in concert, I mean, the last time I saw them with Arnell, they didn't play one song that Arnell, from the Arnell albums, not one. Mm-hmm. And they didn't sing anything that wasn't a Steve Perry song.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if we go see them on this tour, they're going to trot out about four or five of these clunkers.
Yeah, probably.
When they could be playing, how is Never Walk Away, at least that song, in the set list? Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I think what's even more, you know, most telling maybe is that we've completely ignored the first single off this record, which was the first time we've heard Journey in over 10 years. And we've completely just forgot about the debut single on this record that came out last year. Cause what a clunker the way we used to be.
Yeah. You texted me when it came out. It's a zero. I'll play a little bit of it. I hate it. I do not like it. Or maybe I won't say hate. I like when you say indifferent. I hate it. Boring for a single. In the distance, no secret space. Baby, never thought we'd be in this place. Can we ever get back to the way we were doing it? To the way we were living it? Back to the way we used to. See, that reminds me of one of those mid-tempo drones from Arrival that we skip.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a single.
Yeah. Or something, a reject from Trial by Fire or something.
Yeah, yes, it sounds just like something from Trial by Fire that I would skip over. I don't like when a band, they have a new album coming out and they release, I don't know if Journey did this, but some bands will release like four or five digital singles before the album even drops. And I tend to stay away from them because it ruins the album then when I listen, because I've heard those songs, so I want to skip them. And I mm-hmm. still like listening to the album as a complete piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm going to rant on Jonathan Cain again because his thank yous in the album just make me so mad. To the love of my life, Paula. Okay, look, people get married and get divorced. This is his third wife and it's her third husband. And I just think when they stand up there and pertain to be Christians, and I just... I'm so mad. Anyway, hate him. So on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you give this album if you had to give it a number?
Ooh, a 4 or 5.
I was going to say four because at the end of the day, out of these 15 songs, I bet I could only pull 4, maybe 5.
Mm-hmm.
Now that said, folks, you're going to have a chance. You're going to have a chance to win one of these.
Yeah.
So get excited. Get excited, yeah. Folks. Patreon.com/rocksolidpodcast this Friday. My playout song, Andy, we'll chat a little bit more, but the playout song is in the Walmart version of Revelation. They also included a disc of re-records with Arnell singing all the classic Journey songs. So our playout song today, I'm going to play his version, studio version of Don't Stop Believing. That's what I chose. So I hope that's okay with you.
Sure.
If we could rank these Journey albums post Perry, can you give me your ranking? Let's not include Red 13. Cause I mean, that's near the bottom for me. It's not a full mm-hmm. album. So what do you got for me? How would you rank them?
Yeah, I've got, I actually ranked the whole catalog, but I've got the post Perry. I've got, Eclipse as my favorite.
Okay.
Followed by Revelations.
Okay.
Arrival.
Okay.
Generations.
Yep.
And then Freedom.
Okay.
So it's my least favorite post Perry album.
And if I was going to I would put Red 13 after Freedom just because it does nothing for me and it's not really an album, but we're not going to rank it. Okay. For me, looking at these albums, I would say, and I actually have them in front of me like an idiot, I'd go Arrival, Revelation, Generations, Eclipse, and Freedom. So it's literally, I like the first Augieri and then the first Arnell, then the second Augieri and then the second Arnell, and then Freedom. Mm-hmm. way at the bottom, but mm-hmm. I will give Eclipse another listen, and because of the songs we played today and because of your high recommendation on that album. So and what's your favorite Journey album of all time?
I've got Escape as number one. You know, I have to take out the fatigue factor for sure.
Yeah.
But if you do that, you know, and if I take myself back to, you know, the day that I, you know, went to Camelot Music, and I think I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark that day too. So I think I saw Raiders and then I went to Camelot and bought the record. But I think that's their best record.
Andy, other than your daughter being born, that might be the best day of your life.
It very well could be. classic movie and classic record.
That is high on the list. I would also put Escape at number one. I know there's a fatigue factor for many, many people. I still don't get sick of it because the way that album is sequenced, it's just flawless to me. And look, even if you skip Don't Stop Believing because you're tired of it, the next nine songs are just jams.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Andy, thank you for doing this. I really like talking about the Journey albums, the good, the bad, and the ugly with the Journey fan. And do you have plans to see Journey on this tour?
I'm not going to see them. I think they may even have already rolled through here. So no, I'm not going to see them.
And the reason for that is there a reason?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't go to as many concerts as I used to, as I've gotten older. And I've seen Arnell before. I'm just not really too enthused about going to see him again.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the bands that we see that you and I both like, the set list is the same all the time, but REO was one of the last concerts I saw before lockdown. And they're always good. REO is always good. And even though it's the same set list they've been playing for 20 years, I was really excited. And then when I think about that was the last show I saw before lockdown, it was a good one. But, And are you back to seeing concerts?
I think I'm trying to remember. I haven't seen too many lately, but I'm certainly open to seeing something if it's a can't miss situation.
All right. And how's your baseball team doing?
They're doing okay right now. They're if the season ended, they would make the playoffs. So I guess that's a good thing.
And who's your team?
The Tampa Bay Rays.
Now, if you could only, for 1 year, if you had to give up music or baseball, what would you give up?
Oh, I'd give up baseball for sure. I can't give up music, no.
All right. Well, that's why you're on a music podcast and not a baseball podcast. So, Andy, so nice to have you on the show again. Great to see you. And everybody, please enjoy the studio version sung by Arnell Pineda of the song that Andy and I are both fatigued with, but I'm ramming it down your throats. Please enjoy. Don't Stop Believing. Thank you, Andy.